Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? Happy Tuesday.
I'm doing okay. We've got a sweet divisional round set.
We do.
And sorry to, well, we've already talked about the Packers. We don't need to talk about it anymore. I'm sorry to bring it up.
You did take a shot at the NFC North last night. I see what you did there on Twitter, too.
You like that?
Yeah, the Paper Lion.
Are you familiar with Paper Lion, by the way?
Yes, I am.
So for people, yes, I said NFC North, Paper Lion, question mark. And for people who don't know, so George Plimpton was a writer who like went through Sports Illustrated and went through a camp with the Lions as a quarterback, and they made a movie about it called Paper Lion. Yeah. And he just got the crap beat out of him. And it was one of the great moments in Lions history because, you know, they don't have many on the field. Is the NFC North the SEC?
Maybe. Maybe.
They thought they were so awesome, and now they're all going to go crap out, one and done.
I mean, the Lions are the last hope, which is not a comfortable place to be throughout history.
Watch out for that Jaden Daniels, buddy. Watch out for Jaden Daniels.
Geezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Morning, fellas. Yeah. Great game last night. Was it a throw? Was it not a throw? Matthew Stafford.
Was it a great game?
I mean, yeah. But.
It was?
I mean, I liked
it. Did we watch the same game? Okay.
I liked it.
Well, you liked it. Okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a great game.
Keiser thinks it's a great game, it's a great game.
I mean, we were all wrong on Pixie and Pick'em on that one, by the way.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, it's true.
That was my lock.
That was a pretty brutal week for me.
Yeah.
I ended up 1-5.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
You did.
Probably ends the competition for me.
But you can be a spoiler.
Oh,
you can
good.
Play spoiler and then buy one of us pizza.
That's good.
Great.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We've got some Sam Darnold discussion to get into, which we will here in just a second. We've got potentially Deion Sanders to the Cowboys, which could be very interesting, which we'll get into. There was more Twitter drama with Jeffrey Simmons yesterday. Mike Vrabel was introduced as head coach of the New England Patriots. There was an interview across the street with the former Titans general manager that we'll discuss at some point as well. We got a lot to get into today, Joe Rexro.
Yes, we do.
Not one of those days that's short for topics.
No, and we could also, you know, break down segment by segment the 17 candidates for
there's that.
GM. But I guess what? They've whittled it down, huh?
They've whittled that down, so we've got that to get into. And also, there's still yet to be moves made for the Titans coaching staff, which we can also get into. There's a lot to talk about today on the program.
I mean, look, there's no way this is happening, but at this point, it's Tuesday of the following week and nothing's happened. Again, like I said yesterday, that's if you're going to do something, you need to give people an opportunity to look for another job. Like new coaches are being hired. Yeah. And I suppose still in the next couple days, it's still reasonable, but it's weird.
It's very weird, and it starts to make me wonder if anybody's getting fired at all or if they're just bringing this whole thing back for the coaching staff next year.
I'm here for all of it.
I'm sure that the fan base will respond very nicely to that. But hey, you know what? At this point, if you're a Titans fan, why not? Just add it to the list.
Yeah.
Just keep them. Yeah. Colt Anderson back. Yeah. Come on. Bring him back.
Everyone but Ran. All the players, too. Yeah. Everyone but Ran. EBR.
Do this whole thing over again. Just Rand's not here, so it's all going to be better now.
You get him off the sideline with that T hat, and that whole vibe changes.
Yeah, apparently
Titans
so.
Titans are ready to play some winning football.
That could be the strategy. We'll see how it goes heading into next season. All right, so the Vikings are eliminated. They lose 27-9 last night in the wild card game against the Rams. First off, Rams look pretty good. Just going to throw that out there. Going to be interesting to see what sort of a run they're able to make.
Definitely.
Darnold, 25 of 39 for 245, a touchdown, a pick, and a fumble lost. He was sacked 9 times in that game yesterday. Two games in a row, Joe, to end the season where Sam Darnold, quite frankly, just was not very good. Now, he missed a ton of throws in the Detroit game, had some bad decisions in last night's game, The overall body of work for him this year, still pretty darn good. It is a sour way to end the season with Sam Darnold. So what does this now mean for Minnesota and Sam Darnold in your mind? And how much more likely is it today than it was this time 2 weeks ago that he actually maybe does reach free agency?
Yeah, I have to consider it a possibility now. Maybe that's being a prisoner of the moment. But, man, again, they drafted McCarthy last year, and he was the plan all along, and Darnold was a placeholder. And then Darnold is so good, and then they're 14-2, and they parade him around the locker room on their shoulders, and Sam Darnold, he's the Sam Chise. And then two straight games, he's terrible. And he really was. He was terrible against the Lions, and he was terrible last night. Nine sacks, and some of that was what you would expect. Nine sacks, you know, their line getting caved in, but some of it was him, like, having a lot of time, and then somehow it not instead of throwing it away, just ducking and taking a sack. He was so bad. And I know it's just two games as opposed to compared to the 16, but you also compare it to the whole career before that, right? And so how could you not in your mind think a little bit of, uh-oh, he just turned back into the pumpkin here? I don't know how that couldn't go through your mind if you're the Vikings. So I still feel like a tag could be possible. Some kind of a deal could be possible, but I think these last two games make it much more likely that he actually gets onto the market.
Well, here's my takeaway from it is I think franchise tag is now almost inevitable. I think the idea of a long-term deal for him, which is where I was leaning the way that it had gone for him this year, like he had played that well. I think that starts to become way less likely. I still think there was enough good that he displayed this year that there's not a lot of harm in putting him on the franchise tag and seeing if he can come back next year and build on what he did this year. And maybe it looks better down the stretch. But I do think a lot of Minnesota fans, maybe secretly after the pain of losing the way they did yesterday and ending the season with a dud the last 2 weeks, the silver lining and all that may end up being, well, you know what? Thank God we kind of saw this before you paid him, right? Because can you imagine had they paid him the money that was going to be the going rate for him if it was going to be a long-term deal and next year this is what he ended the season doing and he said, oh, good, we got three more years of Sam Darnold at this rate. Like, there is some silver lining, I guess, if you're a Vikings fan that you can take that it happened this way, but I'm with you. Like, to me, the long-term deal – pretty hard to justify now with the way the season ended. I would not be opposed if I'm a Vikings fan to going with a franchise tag and just seeing what he's got next year.
Yeah. Do the Cousins thing with him that Washington did, yeah. You know, and then finally move on and you're ready. And you know, the difference being that Washington didn't have the young first round pick waiting in the wings back then and Minnesota does. So yeah, I think that makes sense. To do that, they could also, you know, they could tag him and maybe someone out there is so interested they can get something significant back and, you know, go with JJ. They do have Daniel. They've got Daniel over there.
They do. They do have Daniel over there. I mean, so let me ask you
this. He's just a one-word name, Daniel.
With the way that –
good Elton John song.
Yeah. With the way that he's ended the season, let's say he does make it to free agency and Minnesota says, you know what, Sam, we appreciate you. It was a good year. But we're going to turn the keys over to J.J. McCarthy next year, and he's going to be what we go with. How has the last two games affected the interest level in him in general? And if he is the best option, quote-unquote, free agent-wise on the market, how interested do you think the Titans should still be, given the way that things ended?
Yeah, if he's out there, absolutely. I would put him number one among the people that would actually be free agents. Right?
Right.
He'd easily be the top free agent, I think. I mean, I think this year was not a mirage, you know. Now, you know, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, even Jalen Naylor, that's a very good – and T.J. Hockenson, yeah. That's a
Aaron heck – Aaron Jones, like, there's a lot of weapons they got.
That's a heck of an offense with an offensive line that got banged up and got bad. But you do have to keep that in mind. And I feel bad for Justin Jefferson, by the way. The last two games, it's like, wow, he's – doesn't make that much of an impact. Yeah, he's getting open still. The quarterback's not. I mean, he could have had two or three touchdowns against the Lions if he just throws the ball where he had been throwing it all year. But I still think that those 16 games count. They mean something. He's taken definite steps, and I think he could be a good option. He's going to be a good option for someone. The whole, oh, my gosh, is Sam Darnold becoming a great quarterback? Yeah. Is he going to be the guy? The last two games put a lot of cold water on
it. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with him and what decision Minnesota decides to make with him as they move forward here. Let's get to this from Matt on the YouTube chat, going back to the Titans coaching staff. It says, part of the new GM's role is helping with coaching staff. Is it not possible that they're waiting for that, or do you guys just want something to complain about? This from Matt on the YouTube chat.
Yes, Matt. We just have to totally manufacture things to complain about with the Tennessee Titans. Why? How could you complain about this franchise? Yeah. Let's just make something else up. Well, Matt, let's understand, okay, again. The GM that's coming in is the assistant to the regional manager, okay? Chad Brinker is in charge. And, yes, the new GM can come in, and that can be part of his thing. They're not waiting for the new GM to come in. This is a joint decision between Brian Callahan and Chad Brinker. And if Amy wants to chime in and say, you are firing that special teams coach, right?
Yeah.
Then that's fine, too. But, no.
They
may be waiting for that because they're focused on the GM search, but which, again, to me is just – like, if you are going to move on from coaches, give them a chance to move on with their lives and find the next job.
Well, and beyond that, this needs to be Brian Callahan's decision. You're going to stick with Brian Callahan as the head coach, then Brian Callahan needs to be the one making decisions on his staff.
I agree. Now, coaches do sometimes get told what to do.
I'm sure they do, but if you're going to tell him what to do, tell him what to do. Like, what are you waiting on?
Exactly.
This needs to be – if you're keeping Brian Callahan around, he needs to be the one making decisions with his coaching staff. And if you feel like you have to intervene, if you're Chad Brinker, then intervene. But this – it's been 8 days since Brian Callahan was in front of the media talking about how they were meeting with the coaching staff. And if there were any decisions, they'd make them later in that week.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe
you're just finding a reason to complain, Robbie.
I mean.
Complain.
I'm just saying. This is weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Some more interesting Twitter stuff with Jeffrey Simmons, which continues to be a theme. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Some more Jeffrey Simmons Twitter stuff, Joe Rexroad, which has been somewhat of a consistent theme over the last little bit. So apparently yesterday, and this happened like yesterday morning while we were on the air, Jeffrey Simmons liked a tweet essentially about the idea of him being traded to the New England Patriots now that Vrabel is the head coach up there, and has since come out with a clarification post on Twitter. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons said yesterday morning around noon. Says, liking that tweet was literally not on purpose. Y'all cool out. It's not that deep. I know where my heart's at. My goal is to retire a Titan. Back to enjoying my offseason. This is what Jeffrey Simmons had to say on Twitter. A couple things on this from my perspective, Joe. I have no idea whether or not Jeffrey Simmons liking a tweet about him being traded to New England was intentional or wasn't intentional. And there's no way for me or you or anybody else to prove what his intent was behind that. I almost don't even really care if it was intentional or not intentional. This is just yet another example of Twitter being a problem for him. And look, far be it from me to be a radio host here that tells Jeffrey Simmons what to do with his social media and what to do with his personal Twitter account. But it just feels like there's always something with him on Twitter. And I don't think Jeffrey Simmons is like some bad guy. I don't think Jeffrey Simmons is a problem in the Titans locker room. I don't think that Jeffrey Simmons is like some representation of all the negative things that are going on with the Tennessee Titans right now. But it's always something with him. Whether it's seeing something on Twitter and flying off the handle and, you know, almost putting Andrew in a pretzel out there. It clearly lets things bother him too much. And clearly, Twitter is something that is just always a storyline with him. And just the latest example of that yesterday. Again, I don't even really care if the like tweet was intentional or not. There's never going to be any way that anybody could prove whether it was or whether it wasn't. And look, I get it. You can scroll down Twitter. I've accidentally liked things on Twitter. Just scrolling, it happens. So I'm not going to sit here and say like it's impossible that the like tweet was not on purpose or on purpose, whatever it was. But it just feels like there's always something with Jeffrey Simmons as it relates to Twitter.
Do you ever have moments in your life when you realize how meaningless everything is?
Yes.
This would be one of them.
Yes.
Well, Jeff had a point, though. Like, when he went off on everybody because the Jamal Adams signing was so awesome.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know.
I had forgotten about that one. Yeah, add that one to the list, too.
Well, that was right before the
right
whole Andrew
before Andrew's
thing. Yeah.
Pretzel.
Andrew. Hold on. Before I sign that autograph, let me throw this nerd through the wall. Thank you. Okay. All right. Let me see your Frisbee. Yeah, I would never know. I would never know that this stuff is happening. I'm so close to being checked out on Twitter altogether. The only thing about this that, you know, I'm with you. It's like, who knows? I have no idea. There's some people. This is my problem when things like this happen. So he tweets that, and this is where I do have a little issue sometimes with like some Titans media. Okay, because he tweeted that, you should not quote tweet and say, "See everybody, you wrong." You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know, man. Now, it's like the opposite of that is Stilly, and everything's a conspiracy, and everything. There's always the, you know, the sinister explanation, yeah. Right? I don't know. You don't know. He doesn't know. We don't know. But I'm with you. It's a pretty frequent thing with Jeff, and I could see him, you know, kind of liking the idea.
Yeah, I was about
I could
to say
see him
like
liking
this,
the idea.
This is not some, you know, shocking thing if he did like the tweet on purpose.
I mean, look, the guy, it's gone terrible here. The team is terrible. They just fired the GM who, by the way, the GM who got his deal done,
yep,
and who he appeared to like a lot,
yep,
and he's gone. So, and now Vrabel's in New England. I mean, I could totally see it.
But, yeah. I don't even really care. Like,
yeah.
If you liked it on purpose, I don't care. It just, I'm so over Jeffrey Simmons and Twitter being used in the same sentence around here of things we talk about. It feels like it happens all the time around here.
Yeah. Yeah, he should get off. And really, I think most people should get off Twitter. It's such a, just an absolute train wreck. Like, the whole, if you do the for you thing there, it's like, how is this for me? I don't want this on my screen. Please, leave me alone.
Said back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. You know, I think about the Jeffrey Simmons stuff, I do believe that he can be kind of a sympathetic person to feel sympathy for in this situation. Like, he traded away A.J. Brown, his draft buddy, fellow Mississippi, you know, buddy as well. You know, they get rid of Vrabel, who was his rookie head coach. I mean, they've really made the situation here very bad for Jeffrey Simmons. And I think we've learned, and if we should have learned before then, that Jeffrey Simmons isn't a company guy. He's not a buyer. He's not a Henry type who can go up in there when things go bad. He can go up in there and lie to everybody and make it seem like it's okay and that they have the answers. He's just not really that guy, and they want him to do that, you know, and it's a good thing for him. I guess you could put it in his professional growth plan of that he needs to be a leader. But, you know, I think he just sees through all the minutia that goes on behind the scenes, and he doesn't stand for it, seeing how it went with Vrabel and then now with all this kind of stuff. And, guys, we got to get Colt Anderson out of here. I'm surprised that he's not, but if we want to have any sense of special teams play, look at the Houston. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of special teams plays going on in the playoffs, and I don't think Colt Anderson knows how to do any of those things, blocking punts, returns, any of those, you know, kind of like plays that can sway some momentum into your favor in a playoff game. I don't think he can do it. So, hey, I appreciate all y'all. All right, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jared. Appreciate it. Look, This is why I really don't care if it was liked on purpose or not, because if Jeffrey Simmons did want out, I can understand that, right? Like, it's been a total tire fire around here.
It's completely understandable.
Yeah, like, if he wanted out, I mean, it'd be bad for Titans fans, but I would say, I understand. Like, a player looking at this situation right now and saying, man, good Lord, somebody come rescue me. So, again, I don't even really care if that's a tweet that he liked on purpose or not. It's always something with him and Twitter. As far as the Colt Anderson thing, like, look, you're not going to get any arguments, I think, from either one of us about Colt Anderson and the way things went for the Titans this year on special teams. It's hard to be confident in it moving forward.
So, again, if you're Colt Anderson, maybe you've been told by Brian Callahan, you're good. Everybody's good. Okay. But if you're Colt Anderson, you have to read the writing on the wall. You have to read the room. You have to understand the situation. I mean, it's like the special teams mistakes. Again, for a rookie coach, too, like, there's no track record to lean on, right?
No.
So you have to know that there's a very good chance you're going to be fired. If you're him right now and you're in limbo, you got to be just like us. Like, what? Like, tell me something, you know? And again, maybe that's not the case, and they just haven't made anything public. I hope that's true. But if it's if everybody's just sitting here waiting, I'm. It's very confusing.
But let's say that is the case, and they haven't made anything public. Like, how often does that happen in the NFL, where you fire a coach and you don't make it public?
Almost never, because typically that coach's agent will tell some reporter,
right,
and it'll become public. So, yeah, it's very unlikely.
Which means that we're 8 days out. We're just sitting here with the coaching staff.
Hey, Brian, it's Colt. Just seeing what's up. Want to go to Topgolf or something? Just seeing if you need anything.
I mean, what if they had the meetings last week and he was just like, hey, man, you guys are all good. Let's come back and let's try to get better in year two.
That'd be something.
At this point, in that kind of the way that it looks like they're leaning, it just, if you're firing them, I don't know, like Colt Anderson specifically, what do you need to meet about? Like, you going through that decision-making process right now? Like, did you not see enough in the regular season to even determine?
Well, you meet because he's a guy that you've worked with.
Well, that's fine.
To be,
but, like, the decision part human. Of it. Like, the decision needs to be made at this point.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I don't understand what the holdup on that would be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Rand Carthon did an interview yesterday across the street that has generated a lot of reaction. We'll offer our thoughts on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt on the YouTube chat has a big problem with us so far this morning, which we welcome. That's fine.
I don't welcome it. You're banned, Matt. You're banned.
Matt says,
oh, my God, look at all these messages from Matt. Holy cow.
He says, why is everyone refusing to admit that special teams made massive leaps forward when they finally got veteran special teams players on the roster? And my response was, massive leaps forward from complete and total ineptitude? Is that the standard? I mean, you could make the argument that they got better. They did get better on special teams in the second half of the season, from being the worst special teams unit in the history of the National Football League. You can take that for whatever you want to take.
Yeah. People give Callahan the benefit of the doubt. He can improve. Why can't Colt? If he is the head that rolls, that's fine, but they didn't improve. Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm here for, like, alternative viewpoints.
You can give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's hyperbole, Joe, to say that was some of the worst special teams play in the history of the National Football League. Go back to watch that Detroit game. So it's not like this is just like, oh, well, it was pretty bad, but it got good at the end of the year.
Right.
It was historically bad
in
the history of the National Football League.
Right. So, you know, like, to me, it's like, because of that, does he have to be punished for that now if you think he's good? No. He doesn't have to be. But when you have a 3-14 season, I mean, really, this the way it works in this league is that some people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And he would – I mean, like, if you're someone else on that staff who lost your job and he didn't, you'd be like, really? Let's compare, like, my production or my area to his, you know? Publicly, as we know, that's the worst thing that
And you can blame it
the offensive line, and that coach is not going to be in trouble.
And you could blame it on the roster if you want to. I mean, look, GM got fired, so you can blame it on the roster. I guess my follow-up question would be, was the roster that bad where the special teams was that bad?
Yeah, like if you're just like straight up letting people come up the middle on a punt, any like mannequin, if you just place them correctly, doesn't let that happen.
Like there have been some bad football teams littered throughout the history of this league that have not had special teams anywhere close to as bad as that was this year. So, I mean, again, I'm not – look, maybe they have made a decision to keep Colt Anderson and he's going to be on staff next year. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, to sit here and act like, well, they improved. It's like, okay, they improved from being one of the worst special teams units in the history of football. So, congratulations.
To being not being, a okay. huge issue. Yeah. A lot of people are getting after him now, calling him a Colt Anderson burner. He's got to be his best friend. He says, no, I'm a punter. I was a punter in college, and I know how special teams works. Okay. That's fine. If you know how special teams works, you must have watched those, you know, those block punts and thought, oh, my God, that shouldn't happen in a JV game.
You would think. So Rand Carthon did an interview across the street yesterday that generated a lot of reaction. And let me first start off by saying this. You know, obviously we're on competing radio stations. And
yeah, why are you talking about the competition?
Man? We know.
What are you trying to do?
Those guys are on at the same time we are. Like I know Kayla really well. She's a really good person.
Yep.
I know
been friends with her for a long
Ramon
time.
A little bit. We go to the same church together, but it's not, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm like huge friends and
good guy.
With Ramon. And Will was not there yesterday. So there's that to point out as well. I listened to the interview. I found it, quite frankly, Joe, to be a big waste of time yesterday when it comes to Rand Carthon. It's a tough situation from the standpoint of, like, Rand Carthon, I think, clearly wanted to go on the show. So, like, what do you do as a radio host in that situation? Well, you probably take the interview. Having said that, like, they didn't really get into much at all of what I think Titans fans were looking to hear. And I know why. Like, Rand Carthon didn't want to talk about that stuff. And there's NDAs involved.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's still getting paid for by the Titans. And obviously, if you're Rand Carthon, you don't want to do anything to screw that up. Having said that, like, Titans fans have been all over this since it happened yesterday and have been critical about the interview and how there was just not really much of substance to it that you walk away from. So my take on it is kind of this, Joe, and I'll let you say your piece on it as well. You know, it's a tough situation, I think, for radio hosts to be in because, you know, it's an interview that's available to you that is obviously interesting. But if you can't really talk about what most Titans fans want to talk about, I don't really know what you're accomplishing there. And, you know, I heard Adam Vingan say this yesterday, and I largely agree. From the journalistic part of it, I understand, like, from Rand Carthon's point of view, there is an NDA, and he doesn't want to talk about all that stuff, and that's fine. But if he doesn't want to do that, then that's on him. That's not on you as the radio host. Like, you can ask the question, and if he doesn't want to answer it, then he doesn't have to answer it. That's on him.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big things is come out front and say, because I did notice, like, Kayla on Twitter was like, you know, we couldn't ask about Brinker. That's something you just say up front, you know? Yeah, make him say, what are we not going to say? Everybody knows there's an NDA at work here, so it was going to be pretty limited, okay? Do you take the interview if you're the station? Yes. Do you promote the interview if you're the station? I mean, come on. Yes, you're going to do that. You got to be a little bit more aware of, like, first of all, like, a lot of people are obviously, whoa, okay, what's he going to say? If you're realistic, you know it's not much. But you got to hit on those topics, let him say, nah, we're not doing that. And it just felt like he just kind of wanted to, like, just have fun and hang out and stuff. And it's like, yeah, this is, I mean, it's, you know, it's like a week after you got fired.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing for that.
I mean, not even at that point.
Like next year, it's like, all right, Rand, he's still in town. And let's just have a fun hour. And there's nothing really going on in the world. Why not? But this was like, people are like, oh my God, I want to hear about, you know, what happened. So, I mean, there were some questions that, you know, were like, I thought relevant. And I think that I think the one thing about it that bothered me from the Rand perspective, and I know that I ripped the crap out of Kaharski last week and probably will again when he comes in, but you know, his take on they asked about the story at paulkaharski.com, and I just like his analysis of that, which sounded like he thinks that Paul just like wrote a column saying I saw Rand in the plant. No, Rand, he actually talked to people who worked with you, who had a problem with you, who said these things about you. So let's not, you know,
right,
let's remember messenger and message here and understand that Paul has covered the Titans since the mid-90s and is not out here making crap up. He's got people in the organization who had an issue with you talk trash about you. Again, I called them weasels, and I stand by that. However, it is a real thing.
Well, and he called it like he was talking about how the personal relationship, right? And like, oh, if you don't have a personal relationship with it, that he's not putting stock into what's said about him. And it's like, okay, well, if you're approaching that from the standpoint of Kuharski, that's fine. But Kuharski's not the one saying that. He's reporting what he was told from people who do have a relationship with you. So
exactly. Like, I mean, I assume. I don't know. I mean, maybe those people also weren't in your home.
Well, I mean, if that's the standard. Then.
Yeah. So that part was, okay, whatever. I mean, there's a little bit of, it just spoke to me a little bit of a misunderstanding of, like, what is going on here. Yeah. And like when you have a public job, you know, which can be very rewarding, there's also things that come with it. Which, you know, look, Rand, as we've talked about, did not totally get all that.
Yeah. Look, bottom line is, like, when we saw that interview was taking place, you know, I didn't have the expectation that Rand Carthon was going to get on the radio and just, like, nuke the Titans, right? Like, I didn't think that he was going to get on the radio.
Oh, no way.
And then just, like, totally rip Amy Adams Strunk and Chad Brinker and everything that went down. Again, that's why it becomes a tough spot.
Of course not.
From a radio host, because it's like, do you take the interview? Do you not take the interview? My general thought on it is, if you're going to take the interview, you have to make Rand Carthon be the one that dodges all that stuff.
Yeah, and just make it more, even if it's more about, like, you know, you think, what do your regrets, things that he would be willing to about, his own performance, right? Stuff like that. I mean, he can get into stuff like that. He can get into decisions on players. It's like, you know, okay, he's not going to talk about Brinker. He's not going to talk about Amy, whatever. Fine. You know that. But again, that's also like, make that clear to the audience up front.
I would have liked to have detailed each conversation he's ever had with Mike Vrabel. That would also have been fun.
That would be fun, too. They did ask about Vrabel.
A lot of Vrabel. I listened to a lot of Vrabel yesterday.
Did you?
Too much. I watched entire press conference that he had. And then, like, he kept doing, I guess, their media car wash.
Yeah.
So he, like, joined their, like, Patriots podcast and did a bunch of interviews. I saw a lot of it. Saw a lot of Mike Vrabel yesterday. I thought of you the whole time.
Well, I missed it, so I'd like to hear more about it.
I will get into Vrabel and some of his comments yesterday in New England coming up next. In the 7 o'clock hour, some interesting potential news on the coaching front in the National Football League that could, in a roundabout way, affect the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Preds fan, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal. Your chance for autographs and pictures as well. Player guests tomorrow will be Jeremy Lazan and Cole Smith. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some interesting head coaching news in the NFL, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes, that could affect the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into that.
Some prime news.
Yes. Potentially so.
You like that, Nick? Uh-huh. Come on, don't shake your head.
We'll get into
that. You like that pun.
Coming up here in just a few minutes. Mike Vrabel introduced as the 16th head coach in the history of the New England Patriots yesterday. Robert Kraft got up there, talked about Mike Vrabel's playing career, his coaching career. He introduced Vrabel. Vrabel had a press conference for like 30 minutes. I watched it in its entirety just to see what it was going to be like.
Wow.
And, you know, as we know, we didn't see enough of Mike Vrabel press conferences around here, and I missed it. So,
yeah,
decided to watch Vrabel yesterday.
That's weird. I didn't.
His media car wash that he did after that. I will say this. Here's a brief synopsis for you. He basically sounded like all the press conferences that he's done here. There was a lot of, you know, we're going to treat you how you treat the team. There's a lot of, you know, the type of player that they're looking for is you need to know what to do and then play fast after that. Like some of the same Vrabel things that we've heard him talk about for a long time here. I guess the one thing that I found to be interesting, he was asked, and I believe this was in his press conference, about like whether or not he's always dreamed of being the head coach of the New England Patriots. And his answer basically was, you know, when I first started coaching back at Ohio State, I probably allowed myself to think about that and to be, you know, wouldn't it be cool if one day you ended up back in New England as the head coach? He did make sure to point out in the middle of that answer, Joe, that he did not think about being the New England Patriots head coach while he was the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Well, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that this was a plan to have Mayo on the contract and Vrabel not get the Chargers job. And him. Come on!
He just wanted to make that clear, that he did not think about becoming the head coach of the New England Patriots while he was in Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'm glad he pointed that out. Yeah. Yes, I. When I came, yes, Robert Kraft and I we cut each other, rubbed, you know, our blood together, became blood brothers, and promised that this would happen. But well, I didn't see much of it. I saw the quote of, you know, we want to take advantage of bad football.
Bad football.
Which I thought,
yes,
that was it. I like that quote. So is he the same? Like,
he's removing entitlement from the Patriots organization.
Yeah, well. That's an interesting comment. Was he just the same? I forever.
He was in a good mood.
He was in a good mood. He was cracking some jokes.
Oh, yeah. He was cracking some jokes. Okay. Like he stepped up to the podium and they were clapping, but I guess like the media people had their phones up and were recording him. And he said, you know, you can put your cameras down for a second and clap, which is a very Vrabel quip.
Sure. God, I hate press conferences where there's slappies clapping in the back, dude. It's one of the worst.
There's a lot of applause
going
on. We got
Robert Kraft's family over there. Is this like the Rand thing when he walks into the building?
They may have brought the entire organization down, yes.
For the freaking press conference. Yeah. God, it's so ridiculous. Well, the Patriots are a clown show. You know, that's the thing that, you know, the Titans, we focus on our clown show here in town. But you look at the Patriots, I mean, it's been bad, you know. And it's an interesting kind of ability to start from the ground up at a place where you still think of all the championships, you think of the dynasty and everything like that, but really it's just a bad situation. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly he can turn that around. I do hope that you think back to when he first started here as Titans coach and how uncomfortable he was at presser, like, now, don't stand over there. I mean, he had some weird, weird pressers that first year.
It really got better as he went along.
What
are you doing with your hands?
Well, that was later because he's a jerk. But, you know, because I was doing a perfectly awesome thing with my hands. But, I hope he, you know, he's a pretty freaking funny guy. I hope that he shows that to them. And he may need to crack a few jokes when they go 5-12 next year.
He might need to. Now, obviously, he was asked about one thing that was I was reminded of the difference between Callahan and Vrabel in a press conference setting, which, again, at the end of the day, nobody really cares about unless you're winning football games. But he was asked about Drake May. Like, there was this long question about Drake May specifically in, like, conversations. Like, have you talked with Drake May? And his answer was, well, I've talked to some players and you know, who those players are and what that looks like.
I hate that
like
stuff.
He wouldn't even say that he had talked to Drake May when asked about talking to Drake May. He's like, yeah, I've talked with some players.
Look, I know Titans fans that if Brian Callahan goes 3-14 in games, he's going to get fired and all that stuff. But, man, that guy shows up and says, here's the injuries. Here's what's going on. Here's some answers to questions, Vrabel. Oh, yeah, I talked to an anonymous player.
I laughed out loud when he said that. I was like, all right, well, that's good. So in a way, you're saying you have certainly talked with Drake May, but you won't come out and say that you talked with Drake May. It's pretty funny.
I talked with someone with the first letter D in his name and M.
Who happens to play quarterback.
Vrabel. Oh, man. It's going to be interesting. There were times when things went bad here. There was a loss. He'd get snippy or whatever. He gets, you know, John Glennon. Is Zach Cunningham going to be a good player?
Yeah.
I'm out of here! And at those moments, every time somebody, either somebody here or someone on a text line or whatever on the internet was like, God, if that guy was in a big city with a big press corps, he would never survive. Well, I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will. On the Drake May front, look, he showed some promise this year. I think there's certainly he showed enough to be excited about if you're the Patriots moving forward. I do think, like, some of the conversation around him has been a little weird to me. Like, it's been like some anointing that he is for sure a franchise guy moving forward here. Like, he threw for 2,200 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 10 picks this year. Like, he was fine, especially given the circumstances around him. Wasn't very good. But, like, I don't know that Drake May is going to be one of those guys moving forward. I mean, you can feel good about it. Obviously, Vrabel does. But, like, some of the conversation to me about Drake May over the last few days has been kind of weird. It's like, well, he's got Drake May, and that guy's going to be really good. And it's like, well, he might be. But, like, I didn't see enough from Drake May this year personally to walk away and say, yeah, that guy for sure is going to be a really good quarterback moving forward.
Well, it's certainly not the same as, like, obviously, like Jaden Daniels.
Right.
To me, even Caleb Williams. I will say that there are a couple performances late where it's like, okay, like, you can see it. You know, so yes, the overall picture statistically and everything, you know, nothing special. Terrible team. And I've always thought, going back to college, I mean, he's pretty freaking good, man.
Yeah, I think he's really talented.
You know, I think they've got something. You know, we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, it is different than, like, Jaden Daniels, who, at this point, it's hard for me to even buy that. It's hard for me to think anything but Jaden Daniels is going to be the best quarterback out of this class. I know some people argue that and say Caleb Williams. I think Jaden Daniels is special. But, yeah, with Drake May, I think he's got a real chance, for sure.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance, too. But, like, I guess what I'm saying is I don't understand the conversation.
He's not a
that sounds like he's some
star.
Sure thing moving forward here. Like, I don't know that I saw that this year from him.
Like, Drake May right now, based on a limited sample size in 1 year versus Mariota when Vrabel came in here at that point.
Well, I mean, Mariota
had just won a playoff game.
Played 3 years. Had won a playoff game and was pretty good in 16. Like, Mariota's season in 16 was better than what Drake May did this year.
Yes.
So it's a little bit different of a comparison. Now, his 17 season, even though they won a playoff game, wasn't very good.
No. I mean, the whole – and you know, that's why they – the OC got a lot of the blame.
Yeah.
Rubisky got a lot of the blame. I might compare those, and I might say I do see a little bit higher ceiling – right now with Drake than at that point with Mariota.
Yeah, I think the arm talent for sure is really, really good. And he did say the staff has not been finalized, so he is not named a offensive coordinator yet. So still going to be interesting to see who that is, that looks like.
Some guy with a mustache. Hey, everybody, it's Mosh Daniels.
Could be.
Welcome to your first time in Foxborough.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Some interesting coaching news that could be brewing in the National Football League that might affect the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.